back to Hyphenate in America, where we make immigration laws and policies easier to understand. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Maria.
Well into the first few months of the Biden administration, we wanted to discuss how the pandemic has continued to affect immigration and specifically focus on Title 42, which is a little known but very powerful Trump-era public health policy at the border that allows agents to immediately turn back migrants caught crossing the border without formally arresting them, which also denies the migrants a chance to ask for asylum.
We will also talk with Michelle Hackman, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Washington Bureau, where she covers immigration policy and the Department of Homeland Security. We discussed Title 42, the increase of unaccompanied minors at the southern border, and the way the immigration space has changed over the last 5 years.
So it's important to lay down the groundwork for what Title 42 is and when it first came into effect. So on March 20th, 2020, the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, issued an emergency regulation to implement a specific aspect of U.S. health law. So what it really does and what it says is it prohibits the introduction into the United States of individuals when the CDC director believes there is a serious danger of the introduction of a communicable disease into the United States. So the rule allows any customs officer, which that includes officers of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, such as Border Patrol agents, to implement any such order. So what that really meant was that this protocol essentially grants Border Patrol agents the authority to expel individuals who are seeking asylum or trying to immigrate to the United States, to expel them to their last country of transit. So by February 2021, CBP had carried out more than 520,000 expulsions under this order.
So knowing that reality that over 500,000 people have been expulsed under this order, it's important to know that despite the CDC's claim that this order was necessary to protect the U.S. from a public health perspective, reporting has shown that the origin of this policy came from DHS and the Trump administration. Public reporting made clear that people from the CDC argued that there was no public health rationale to support this order. Public health experts have since argued there is no need to turn away refugees and expel them to their home countries or to Mexico. The bill is essentially a form of medical gerrymandering, as immigrants are singled out as a unique public health threat.
Federal courts have also rejected the legal basis for the use of Title 42 to expel individuals who have entered the United States. At least one federal judge has ruled that the law only gives the government the authority to turn away people who have not yet entered the U.S. or impose quarantine for those already inside the U.S.
Robert Redfield, the CDC director, renewed this order in October of 2020, and it is still in place today. As we discussed later in our conversation with Michelle Hackman, Title 42 almost had the opposite effect that it intended to have. If the order was supposed to be there to stop border crossings, it's only resulted in a significant increase of the number of arrests at the border.
And the reason for this is that under Title 42, people who are expelled to Mexico within hours after apprehension can simply try again a second or third time in hopes of getting through. So this increase in apprehensions has been seen most among single adults who are not seeking asylum.
Before the pandemic began, just 7% of people arrested at the border had crossed the border more than once. But by October of 2020, 40% of all people arrested had crossed the border multiple times in that same year.
So as public officials, health experts, and advocates discuss how to repeal Title 42, the process is currently being challenged in court. However, there are several ways this order can be revoked before legal action can be taken.
The order is reviewed every 30 days and can be stopped by the CDC director if immigrants are no longer deemed a danger to public health. President Biden can also issue a new HHS rule or reverse the original one. We get into this and more with Michelle Hackman after the break. It is important to note that prominent organizations such as the Southern Poverty Law Center have called the current use of Title 42 as unacceptable. Here are a few words from Efren Olivares, Deputy Legal Director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Immigrant Justice Project. The invocation of Title 42 was a thinly veiled, bigoted, and xenophobic action that has achieved its goal of cutting off access to asylum for thousands, cloaked in the pretense of protecting public health. This policy has been roundly denounced by public health experts, including CDC scientists, as both unnecessary and ineffective. The continued use of this policy is indefensible.
Moving forward, we must remind ourselves that public health officials themselves have denounced this order and the consequences it entails for vulnerable folks on the border.
We are super excited to have Michelle Hackman on the podcast today. Michelle is a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, covering immigration policy and the Department of Homeland Security. Her reporting is truly incredible and has been instrumental in our own understanding of the changes in immigration policy over the past few years. She has recently covered how work permit backlog for immigrant spouses have taken a toll on professional women and how South Texas towns have been impacted by overcrowding at detention facilities.
Hi, Michelle. We are so excited to welcome you to the podcast. We are huge fans of your reporting and articles over at the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
In your article that came out on April 2nd, titled Migrant Arrests at U.S. Southern Border Reach a 15-Year High, you discussed the Biden administration's decision to continue to enforce Title 42, a Trump-era public health policy at the border that allows agents to immediately turn back migrants caught crossing the border without formally arresting them, which also denies them the chance to ask for asylum. In your reporting, how have conditions progressed under this policy under both the Trump and Biden administrations?
Yeah, so I want to just like break that down for you because I feel like for most average readers, it just doesn't make sense what the hell we're talking about. And so I think the thing to understand here is that, you know, under like quote unquote normal circumstances, I'm talking maybe last 10 or 15 years, when you cross the border, you get arrested by the border patrol. You know, often if you're looking to ask for asylum, you know, it's called an arrest. You're literally looking for the border patrol agent to turn yourself in, to be able to go to their, you know, go to their station, get processed and say, I want asylum. And what they've done using Title 42 is eliminated that whole process. They don't even allow you to get arrested so you can ask for asylum. And, you know, the rationale behind it, or the stated rationale, is that it's a public health measure. They want to minimize like the amount of people in jail cells together because that would rapidly spread disease. Now, that is fair, but I'm sure we're going to get to some of the ways that they've applied Title 42 that are pretty crazy, where it sort of debunks the premise. And I think the other thing you've got to know is like under the Trump administration, when they came up with this idea, we actually reported that CDC, who has this public health authority, didn't want to do this because they said, you're basically using our public health authority to advance your immigration purposes because you don't want these people to be asking for asylum because that allows them to come into the country. And we don't feel comfortable with that. And basically they got overruled.
A quick follow-up on that. What are specific ways that you've seen that debunked, as you said? I mean, I can think of sending them to the crowded Remain in Mexico camps on the northern side of the border, but are there other ways that, you know, that thinking that it's public health has been contradicted?
You know, so it's not even Remain in Mexico is a whole other policy area that I don't know, and maybe listeners of this podcast are familiar with, but when they started using Title 42, they actually didn't need to even use Remain in Mexico anymore because that was sending someone back to Mexico with a court date for asylum. And here, of course, you don't get a court date because you haven't asked for asylum. You've just sort of, I mean, the best way that I've described how Title 42 works is that, you know, you show up in the country and the Border Patrol says, oops, like, didn't hear you say you want asylum. They just turn you around and they send you back to Mexico. In many cases, you know, Mexico won't take back everyone because they're a sovereign country. They can say no. And so what we saw under the Trump administration is that they said no to anyone who wasn't from Central America. And of course, you know, there are people from all over the world crossing the border. I mean, you see folks from Cuba and Haiti and Venezuela and Brazil, countries in Africa. I mean, we could talk about the border for hours and hours. But, you know, knowing that that's true, because they couldn't send those folks back to Mexico, they ended up having to house them in, you know, ICE detention or wherever until they had a flight that they could stick these people on and expel them back to their home countries. We can't really call it a formal deportation because there aren't the same consequences. It's kind of like legally on paper, you were never in the country, but, you know, that's sort of an example of, you know, their stated purpose is that we're not detaining anybody. And here we were detaining folks. I will say that was also the case with children and teenagers. The Mexico wouldn't take them back, but we didn't want to allow them to stay. And so we would use this sort of expulsion process by flight.
Many have pushed back on this terminology of crisis. So how do you think by the media and media outlets and journalists concerning immigrants impacts the public's view of such individuals? And then how does this rhetoric affect your own report?
You know, that's a tough one, honestly, Sophia, because it's, you know, I think the role advocates and journalists have different roles, although obviously, you know, I think that in different ways they overlap. But I try to think, I can't speak for all of my colleagues in the media. I can speak for myself, where you don't want to be using dramatic terms when they're not warranted. And, you know, I think the question we ought to be asking is, what is the crisis? Is it that people are coming? You know, I've been trying to make the points in my stories that we've been experiencing, you know, sort of these events every few years where large numbers of migrants come, often ask for asylum. You know, there's a debate over whether, you know, over whether these folks are truly in danger, whether they are coming here to look for work. You know, I subscribe to the belief that it's a combination of those things. The fact is that most of these people will not qualify for asylum. You know, that I think is a debate that you could honestly have over whether our asylum laws are sort of updated to meet the current reality of what is happening, you know, in our own backyard in Central America. But I think there's some aspects of what is happening now that could fairly be called a crisis. You know, there were at one point 5,000 children in Border Patrol custody in really, really despicable environments, you know, crowded together. I think that there were spaces where like 36 children were supposed to be being held and 600 children were being held. You know, that first of all, that's just really uncomfortable. It's unsanitary. We are in a pandemic. And it's not the administration's fault per se that that has happened, because they, you know, it's really tough to control who comes. It's really in the immediate term outside our control. But, you know, those circumstances were pretty dire. And so I think as a journalist, you also can't avoid the reality of what's happening and being able to describe that. And I think that's where the difficulty comes in, of sort of advocacy versus journalism, of highlighting things that are, you know, not so savory.
I guess on the note of your journalism, you have been with the Wall Street Journal since 2016. And as such, you reported on immigration during the Trump years, which I'm sure was really intense. And you continue to report on immigration policy and law during the Biden administration. From the vantage point of a journalist, what are the largest changes you've witnessed in the space over the last 5 years? So not just policy, I guess, just like cultural, political forces as well.
Oh gosh, I would say, you know, it's been interesting to me. And I will say I haven't written about immigration that whole time, but immigration always been a really, really charged political issue, but sort of became supercharged, I would say, by Trump. And what has happened is sort of, you know, Trump made this issue toxic for a lot of Republicans who previously were more supportive of immigrants and increasing immigration, and also sort of hardened the resolve of folks on the left who I think have decided to take this sort of no holds barred approach of, we don't have to give in to anything these people want. They want to increase border security, but we don't have to do that anymore to sort of get what we want. And so I think that has resulted in immigration becoming a more naturally polarized issue, where before, you know, it was really politicized and in sometimes really unsavory ways. But before, you sort of had these unlikely coalitions of like immigrant advocates on the left and business maybe on the right. And of course, all of those lines have sort of gotten muddled.
I know those coalitions are so unthinkable now.
Yes.
like the Bush era.
They still exist to some extent. You know, you have folks like the Chamber of Commerce. I think the really strange thing that's happening that's unrelated to immigration, but is obviously affecting immigration, is that like business was seen as like a center right to right sort of constituency is not really there anymore. You know, like you see the Chamber of Commerce actually endorsing Democrats, which means that then those interests become like more squarely Democratic interests, and means that fewer Republicans are willing to sign on to a whole range of different immigration changes.
Those like unlikely coalitions and like the fact that the immigration space has become highly politicized. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fascinating to see, you know, how that's playing out right now. Mm-hmm. And as we've been discussing, we see the impact of it on a number of different policies. We see how it's impacting Title 42. You know, it's been really interesting to see how the Biden administration is receiving pressure from activist organizations to reverse course on some of their actions, you know, such as upholding Trump's refugee cap. And I would love to know, can you speak to which arguments about Title 42 that you're hearing about as a journalist that might sway the administration?
So that's interesting. I don't want to speculate about what will or will not sway them. I think, you know, coming back to Title 42, it's become this really interesting issue where it's sort of seen as like, you know, under Trump, Title 42 was this like horrific end run around asylum. And that's how a lot of people talked about it. But when the Biden folks came in, I think they made this calculation that they wanted to adhere to their campaign promises and undo, you know, some other border policies. They wanted to end Remain in Mexico, for example, and really distance themselves from family separations. But I think to them, they felt like they needed some kind of enforcement tool, particularly because their message was all about the pandemic and we're going to control the pandemic. And this was like, you know, I think if they ended it, they felt like they would have the headline like, you know, Biden ends border policy meant to keep coronavirus out of the country, you know, which is absurd on a few different levels. But I think they also thought like without this tool, they would just be like totally overrun. Like our border infrastructure can just manage to hold so many people. And I think that they felt like without the ability to just turn people back, that the system would sort of break under the weight of how many people could come. Given that calculus and given that so many people are now coming as they feared, I don't see them being swayed to lift it anytime soon, even though their natural allies on the left sort of find it really abhorrent from a human rights perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'd love to follow up on that. Do you think them keeping Title 42 would mean that, like, what does that mean for, you know, their campaign promises that they might or might not uphold? Is there anything you feel like they can budge on and they do want to change with regard to the immigration system from Trump? You know, they did have some really big promises on promising citizenship.
I think they were careful. Yeah, they were really careful not to make any promises specifically around Title 42. I think what they've said is sort of like they want to re-envision the whole asylum system. I mean, I guess I want to take a step back for a moment and say, like, you know, there are a couple issues at play. Our asylum system, so, you know, we have this situation where we have every 2 to 3 years, we have hundreds of thousands of people coming from Central America and asking for asylum. And, you know, part of the issue is that most of those people factually don't qualify for asylum under our current asylum laws. You know, there's clearly pent up demand in Central America to come here. You know, it's tough to live in some of those countries where there's gang violence, the governments are sort of unwilling or unable to protect their own citizens, but we have no other option available to these people to come. You know, we can't. If they want to come and work, there's no legal way for them to come and do that. And, you know, I think that's part of the problem. And so this asylum system, you know, gets used in this way where it incentivizes people to come, but it sort of has created this singular pathway where people know that if they come, they ask for asylum, it's going to be 4 or 5 years before the government can even hear their claim. And so they're able to sort of live here in that time, work, maybe wait out whatever it is that they're, you know, they were running away from if it was a sort of specific threat. And so I think the Biden administration during the campaign and now has sort of said, we want to like re-envision this asylum system so that first of all, the people who really need permanent protection can get it much quicker. And the ones who don't, like, they'll get a fast answer. It'll be a no. And sort of that will break the cycle that we have happening right now. And I think Trump kind of actually wanted the same thing, but he took more of a stick approach, and maybe this is a different approach.
Thank you so much for your time, Michelle. You know, your thoughtfulness in response to our questions is fantastic. And it will be so interesting to see how the Biden administration responds to these issues in the years to come and how the immigration space alters not only, you know, in the policy and legal world, but additionally in the media space as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Michelle Hackman for speaking to us. Be sure to follow her at M Hackman and keep up to date with her incredible work at the Wall Street Journal.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and our Facebook page to stay up to date with the podcast. Also, make sure to check our website, hyphenatedamerica.org, where you can access our guides, weekly breakdown of immigration news, and so much more.